This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Now it's time for the Dan Quinn Coaches Show with Falcons head coach Dan Quinn.
Here's Wes Durham and Dave Archer.
On the home for our Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Well, we welcome you to Flowery Branch and the Dan Quinn Coaches Show on a Monday with Dave Archer, Wes Durham. It's a victory Monday here as the Falcons beat the Bucs 34-29, an important win not only in the NFC South and in the NFC, and just a good mental health win for your football team, I thought.
No doubt. And, I hit the guys up earlier, 2-1 in the division. That definitely has helped. And it was a real honor to have the Pike County team up here on Saturday and at the game Sunday. And football aside, it was just a good reminder in difficult times in life. We stand up for one another and stand next to one another. And the energy the players had from Pike County, seeing our guys and hanging around with them on Saturday some, I thought that that was a cool thing. And so it was a good win, especially for them. But more than anything, this group, the connection they have, it's fun to see.
Let me ask you quickly. Dylan Thomas is a young man that lost his life in a ball game for that Pike County team late September. How'd that connection start? Was that a story you read about? What was the
entree there? We had just, through the CR department, we had heard, what happened. Obviously, we reached out to their program. And then when Coach and the team came up this past Saturday, we got a chance to hang out and connect with them. And the family, the Thomas family, came to the game on Sunday, and we got a chance to visit with them. So from our players to them, I thought, there's a team that probably needs brotherhood now more than ever, and standing up for one another, and just wanted them to be encouraged by the guys. And, they had a win Friday night. And I said, well, we got to come close the deal here for you Sunday.
That's pretty cool as well, the organization. Another thing you're very aware of is what you guys do, reaching out to different organizations, breast cancer awareness this month. And you had 10 survivors or patients that are going through some of the treatments who were on the field and had time to spend some time with some of the Falcon legends from the past. That's pretty cool that the organization reaches out that way as well.
So when people are going through a tough time, they need mental toughness, physical toughness, spiritual toughness. It's all there for them. And so to have them come be a part of our game, even if just for a small moment, and share some encouragement with them, it helps.
What's interesting too to me is it kind of permeated the game. Okay, you talked about bringing guys together and bringing those young people together that lost one of their teammates, obviously the breast cancer people that came in, and then all of a sudden you look up at your team in a much lesser scenario when we start putting the grand scheme of things, football. But your team got pretty beat up in this game, yet you talked about different guys stepping up and opportunities to kind of galvanize who you are.
I always know when our team's really connected, I'll see guys fist bump, tap one another, that connection that they have before punt, before a game, in a game, those moments that it has to be felt. And for our team, you feel that. And so when, a guy like Cal, is out or Mo is out, the other receivers, they know, okay, this is my moment to lead. And if this is where I'm called upon to do, this is what I'm going to do and get the job done. And so it's way more impactful when you get a chance to do that and earn some trust amongst the other guys.
So what kind of steps did you make yesterday with this team? I mean, the win's the obvious one.
Right.
But within the game or the development
right.
within the game.
I know exactly where you're going. And I think more than anything, and this is probably true, especially true for younger players, and I hope, Arch, you can relate to this, these moments come up. And when you nail them and when you come through in those, you realize it was pretty simple. And, you've been trained, you're ready for it, and it's kind of an awesome feeling to know that you can handle it and you're ready for the next one. So I think this 18 team, as we're growing, they were put in some moments yesterday. And we've had some where we didn't, work out over the first few weeks of the season. So to have some of those moments come up at the end of the game in a 4 minute to convert third downs, to have a kick to, go up a score at the end of the game, those are the moments you need. And 2 minute at the end of the half was a big one. So it's a pretty powerful feeling when, as a player, you didn't have to do anything special. You just had to own that moment, and you can train for it all the time, over and over, play after play, because you never really know when it's coming. But then when you probably had this your first game that you played well in the NFL, it's like, I can do this, and I can succeed at this, and I want to do it again. And so I think as the new guys are coming in and the young players are coming up, it's a pretty valuable lesson for them to own those moments. And you never know when exactly they're going to come.
Boy, that's so true. Your confidence goes up exponentially when that opportunity.
And you have it forever.
You answer the call, yeah. Practice even seemed different to me. When I got to practice, I felt like I owned that. You know, there was a feeling that kind of permeated everything that I was about at that point, having gone through those moments.
It's pretty simple, you know. It's the fundamentals and doing it right. And when you go back and you rely on those things and you say, okay, it still comes down to my fundamentals and doing it right longer and, you know, making the right, in your case, the right read or the right throw, there's a confidence and momentum that you can build. So I'd say from our team, recognizing when those moments came in the game and then having a chance to answer.
Well, understanding who you are and knowing that, okay, that was nice to get the win and you've already turned the page and trying to get better.
Yeah.
Tell me about when you look at your run game, and I know that's something you'd like to improve.
100%.
What do you need to do there to get to the second level, get people blocked, get that run game flushed out where you can get going downhill?
And oftentimes, like, we like getting the ball to the edge because then you get into space. So we're always looking for ways. How do you get to the edge? How do you get to the edge? Sometimes you toss it. Sometimes you can run the stretch play and get on the edge. Other times it's a design cutback and, you know, a tight end coming across the sift. So what we're going to nail, and we haven't yet, but we're going to, is, you know, how do we get these consistent good plays? Because we've had some that knock us out to second down and 11, or, you know, goes to second and 8 after, you know, or, you know, third and 6 after being at, you know, second and 4. So eliminating some of these tackles for losses. So the runs that, you know, are 0 to 1 go to, you know, 5 and 7, but not the ones that knock you back.
Well, in Q, that, I mean, to me, that's the only thing that's keeping you from maybe scoring on every series. You know, you got, and it kind of crept in there in the third quarter.
Did.
And your defense, remarkably enough, stood up and made plays.
It was their time to stand up.
Yeah. And so that part of it can get rid of maybe some of that stagnant time you get on the offensive side.
It seemed like the first two drives of the third quarter didn't go right. You know, we had a foul, and I think it was West that stepped on Matt's foot, and the ball went behind Tevin, and that turned into a one. And then on the next series, we had a holding call and a false start that made it second and really long. And those were the two series of the game that I didn't like for the offense. But past that, I loved the way that they attacked. And Tampa had a number of different pressures that they had come up with, and it wasn't ones we had seen before. So I thought pretty good job by the offensive line and the running backs of identifying some of those new pressures and answering at the line of scrimmage.
Well, I think attack is a great word because you're always trying to learn. If you're not trying to learn something in this business, even where coaches, players, then you're moving backward because people are doing that are around you. I thought that your decision to be aggressive at the end of the first half,
right.
There's 26 seconds left. A lot of people might have kneeled down right there. You know, you decided to attack. You decided to get after it, and it benefited you. You had 3 points on the board.
I felt, and I told the team the other day, I didn't quite like how we did our 2 minute at the half against New Orleans and against Pittsburgh. And I met with the offense, and I said, that's on me, man. Like, I want to go attack and be aggressive. And, you know, you're trying to, well, let's just, you know, take it all the way down and score with 1 second left on the half. Like, yeah, that'd be awesome. But that's not really how it goes. And so if I'm going to say we're going to go attack, then I've got to hold up my end of the deal too, knowing that we had timeouts, we were able to utilize them. And with the crew that we had, I thought Hooper and Hardy and Matt, bang, 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 and 3 plays, you know, put Matt Bryant in a chance, you know, in a position to go hit it. And I thought that ended up being a real significant drive for us for the game.
Interesting. You mentioned the obviously the change in what Tampa was doing defensively.
Yep.
So obviously they've used the bye week to kind of reset what they were doing. Yet you also have invested a little bit more in the tight end package.
Right.
I mean, yesterday we saw 3 more than we have seen them maybe before all year long. You feeling some degree of confidence with this kind of load, if you will, formation-wise?
We feel confident with it, and we just wanted to have even more ways to attack. And sometimes it's three tight ends. Sometimes it's four and five wideouts. And so we'd like to use the whole complement of guys. So when you prepare for us, there better be a lot of layers to that practice of what you're going to do. Three tight ends, two tight ends, one tight end, two running backs, two halfbacks, and attack, attack, attack at every chance we get.
Well, and a tremendous amount of belief now in Austin Hooper.
Yep.
Because if I go three tight end set, they're going to stay base defense with the three linebackers and four defensive backs. I'm confident that if I motion out and I get Hoop out wide, I like my matchup on a corner with Hooper, and it paid dividends yesterday.
It did, and those are certain formations that you'll try to script to say, let's see how they'll respond to it. And I thought Sark and the guys did a good job of using some new formations to see what the coverage would look like if they put three receivers to a side and put Hoop by himself and he and Teb on the backside of things. So those are just good ways to attack. I told you that Matt and Hoop, you know, spend a good bit of time this offseason, and I think the work that Hoop has put in, you know, you're seeing a byproduct of that.
Coach, his last 2 weeks have been fantastic, and I know the stats kind of back it up, but just his kind of feel for where he is in the on the field and the way he's fitting the offense.
Yep, and even at the 2 minute at the half, last week he didn't quite get out of bounds. This week he did. His aggressiveness, the blocking, you know, you really see this development taking place. And he is another weapon for sure. So we're glad that Tico, you know, as a halfback has it. He has it. Obviously, we talk a lot about the receivers. But Matt has a good way, and he knows where to go and where to attack when the situation's right. And all the good quarterbacks that you coach against, they just have a sense of where to go with the ball versus this coverage. And Matt has really felt, you know, in sync for a few years now with this offense in terms of decisiveness, where to go based on the formation and the coverage. And he's at the very top of his game right now.
Well, I want to get into more about Matt Ryan and probably from not on this team, but is underappreciated elsewhere. And we'll talk a little bit about that maybe when we come back. But I want to ask you real quickly, Tevin Coleman and Ito Smith, we didn't get the run game out. Now,
right.
Ito gets off and Ryan changes the flips the play the other side and you get out the backside for a touchdown. But are you really pleased with they don't get down on themselves because the run game's not going. Now they're going to affect the game in the pass game. Obviously, Kev gets in the end zone on the pass play. It seems like no matter what you put them in, they're going to respond.
And you can't overemphasize the importance of it because even on our play pass, if the linebackers and the safety are coming downhill, you know, you saw Calvin with a couple of big catches early in the game. Well, if you go back and look at it, they know we're committed to running it. So although the runs didn't get going like we want, there is a byproduct of that, and that's the safety and the linebacker stepping down to fill a gap. And here comes a crossing route right behind your back, and Matt's going to come right back up and try and rip it.
All right, stay tuned. More coming up with Coach Dan Quinn. Don't forget Desmond Trufant in our player spotlight today. More of the Dan Quinn Coach is showing a Victory Monday from Flowery Branch after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
SHOP, S-H-O-P, SHOP. Text that to 72881. That's 72881 from your cell phone, guys. Now's an opportunity to win $1,000 playing our $1,000 National Signing Bonus Contest. Message and data rates do apply. Do not text and drive. And for complete details, visit 929thegame.com/rules. The word this hour is SHOP.
92.9 The Game. Now, let's go back to Flowery Branch for more of the Dan Quinn Coaches Show. Here's Wes Durham and Dave Archer.
On the home for our Falcons, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Falcon fans have a chance to win big at Kauffman Tire when the Falcons score a touchdown. For each score the Falcons score a touchdown, get $25 off at any Kauffman Tire store the next day. Yesterday, the team scored in three quarters. That's $75 in the bank before you get in to see Kauffman Tire on a set of four select new tires. Today only, get into Kauffman Tire. Visit KauffmanTire.com or your local Kauffman Tire store for the details. Kauffman Tire is the official tire retailer of the Atlanta Falcons.
And back with Dan Quinn. Dan Quinn coaches showed a Victory Monday from Flowery Branch and Desmond Trufant in the player spotlight this week coming up. We mentioned Matt Bryant, obviously, kicks the unbelievable field goal in the final 70 seconds. 57 yards, his second longest, I think, as a Falcon. 59 a couple of years ago against Kansas City, still his mark. Injured on the play. Everybody saw him leave the field. You said in your press conference probably will not make the post this week.
Correct.
On Monday night against New York. But you also mentioned something else that Dave and I talked about. toughest guy. I mean, just a tough guy.
Yeah.
Not kicker.
Don't say that. Yeah, he's one of the toughest players, and mentally tough, physically tough. And so he's had injuries before, and I know he'll bounce back. We'll see how long it takes him, but he has a strain, a hamstring on that hit, just like we saw, and it was an excellent kick. And going into it, that's a long one to make, and it was a lot of decisions to go into that. But when you go into that spot here at home, that percentage is really high in that window for Matt Bryant. And some people would say that's a gutsy call, and I'd say not with Matt Bryant.
Well, it's still a gutsy call, but you're right.
Yeah, if it was somebody that you don't know, it might be more gutsy. But with him, he gives you a lot of confidence because of his history, and I see him make those kicks every day. You know, not every day, but in practice.
Kickers take a bad rep, just in general.
Yes.
Not this guy, though.
Right.
This guy breaks kind of the mold a little bit, right?
Yes, he was the same guy also that used to kick barefoot, okay, if you go back to look at Baylor. So that's got to mean something. And he did it in high school, and he also played linebacker. So his dad created a shoe that he kicked barefoot, and then as between the first play on defense and after he'd done the kickoff, they threw it out, and he'd slide a cleat onto his foot so he could play linebacker.
Well, and he also talks to alligators. He's got
the alligator whisperer.
I mean, you don't find that from kickers.
No.
So. You
know,
I don't put him in the kicker.
He was a catcher.
Bowl. Yeah.
You know
what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So, he looks like a catcher.
He does look like a catcher. Yeah. Maybe but, second career, you know.
Well,
when he turns 50.
Our fingers are crossed for Matt Bryant. Hopefully the injury can be something that he can get over fairly quickly.
He is one tough guy. So, you know, it'll help the bye with him.
Q, that sequence, you know, I know you're going to downplay it and all that kind of stuff. That was a lot. That was a tough call. That was to make that decision, knowing that if Matt Bryant were to miss the field goal, they're going to get the ball at the 47-yard line.
All of them were winning moments to say, which way do you want to go?
It shows tremendous confidence in him, no question about it. Also, it shows that you feel like you can maybe get a stop if you had to. But, I mean, when you go into that sequence, and I go, ifs and ands are fun to talk about. If Tevin gets close to the first down, now you've got another decision you got to make there. I'm sure you've already gone through all that.
They were. I was kind of standing right where the marker was, so I knew where we would want to get to for me to say go for it. Where did we want to get to for me to say, hey, we're going to go kick it? The one thing we weren't going to do is punt, and so it was going to be one of the two.
Yeah.
You like the sequence, though, the way your team handled not only the offensive possession that led to the field goal, it also got a little chaotic in their last possession, too.
Yeah, and a very interesting play on the last play of the game. And when you go back to look at the design of it, where it, all of a sudden it looked like it was just a quarterback taking off to scramble, there was a lot more design to it than that. And so interesting play, but good things happen to those who run. And Julio was about to come up and make a tackle because he was on the field for the last play, and they tried to pitch it to the next guy. And those are really fun moments to be in as a coach because it's all there for it, all the battle, you know, that took place up until the previous 59 minutes and, you know, 50 seconds. So then it's on for this play. And I love those times.
I want to go back and visit Matt Ryan. I said I was going to do that. I mean, obviously I've tried to quantify what Matt is and how good he is and what he brings to the table. And you've talked about that repeatedly. But there are a few plays in this game that I think really kind of quantify who the guy is.
Yeah.
Okay, the throw he makes to Julio Jones when he's going to – and you're shown on the TV on that you knew how big a play it was. He eats a helmet well before Julio ever comes out of the
and
break.
There was
a little early with air.
No flinch.
Yeah, just
that's what
it.
I showed the team today. Sometimes as a quarterback, you know you're going to get hit right in the face, but there was no flinch on him. And he knew where the route was going to be and where the ball had to go. And he had to wait knowing this is going to hurt and I'm making a good throw anyway. And he definitely did. I thought the scramble that he had to go finish on third down and 9, those were two plays by him that just showed one, the competitor that he is, and how far he's willing to go to get the job done for the team.
How much does your team feed off something like that?
They definitely do, because those are just once and again, like those times where more respect is even earned and just keeps putting it into that bank. He's got incredibly high standards for himself and for those around him, and wants the details right and things right at practice. And so he holds himself to a really high standard as well. We've had many practices, you know, he's 19 to 20 or what happened on the one. And he's willing to say, yeah, I didn't hit the throw that I wanted to, but he is one tough competitor.
there were moments in this game that you didn't play anywhere the defense that you're accustomed to playing or the standards you established yet.
Correct.
Your kids continue. They continue to play as hard as they can play. KZ comes up with a big-time interception, yep, reading the quarterback's eyes. And then Duke Riley carries the vertical in the red zone, much like we saw Deion Jones make the interception against New Orleans a year ago. Just didn't get his head around, but he, yep, got his head on the ball.
Yep. They, we actually threw turnover, that one, and Kurt Bankert hit Duke in the back of the head in practice. On a
Did he really?
Ball. Yeah.
Same thing.
Same play on Friday. And, you know, they tried to rip, you know, we call it a stick nod, and he tried to rip it in right behind him to see if he could go over Duke to make it. And he made the same play in practice. There's a number of things stat-wise that don't look good, you know, from the defensive side. And some of the things it would be hard to quantify into stats. Where's the communication going? You know, those are the things I think we can get a lot better at. We're not even at our halfway mark yet. And I feel like we're going to make big strides defensively. It may not always show up in the stat sheet where it looks like we're way down on a lot of things, but that doesn't bother me as much as the excitement I get because of what I think they can become and how much better they can get. And so those are things that light me up as a defensive coach.
We talk about the personnel packages offensively. The personnel packages on that side of the ball are also evolving, right?
It was good to see that linebackers, you know, some extra ones get involved. Foye had his most plays that he's had so far. We got Ish involved. He's one of our better tacklers. Crawford's gaining, you know, experience and technique at defensive line and as well as some of the others. So we're going to get some guys back, you know, from a defensive line standpoint with Grady and Shelby. Could be as soon as this weekend and, you know, on Monday night. But we'll see how it goes for the week. But I do like the experience that these men are gaining.
Well, and Bruce Carter came in and got a couple plays for you as well, didn't he?
So former Tar Heel, there'd be some love
Tar
for
Heel.
That. But he can really roll, Arch. He plays on teams. He's got speed.
And
he's got smarts.
Guy.
Yes. And so he's been a good addition so far. And sometimes it's difficult to get dropped in on a team. But over the last couple weeks, it's gotten better and better and better each week.
I got to ask you about, and you can't comment on the calls, just from an administrative standpoint, do you guys send in video of things that you feel like a little questionable?
We do.
In my opinion, Tack McKinley being tackled four times in the game as he's rushing the passer. Do you send a myriad of stuff into for the league to evaluate?
We will, and some of it's from a teaching perspective. Is this how you see it? Is there something that needs to be taught differently here? We had an offensive pass interference a few weeks ago, and so I showed the clip from practice how we were teaching it, and so we had to make one small adjustment in the route, and we did that. Oftentimes, I'll just send it in to ask, do you support this call? You know, to the, you know, the head of officials. So those are things that we send in more to get some clarification on.
Okay.
You use officials in practice. Everybody sees them in training camp.
Right.
You continue to use them through
Wednesdays
the regular
and
season.
Thursday. We do. And it's just to have a mindfulness for it. So if there's a holding or a neutral zone infraction, that we have a side judge that's there to watch the line of scrimmage. We have a back judge, want to make sure we're not grabbing or holding that, you know, especially on the edges. So it's more line of scrimmage, tackles, defensive ends. It's out on the perimeter with wide receivers and corners. And let's make sure, I have them come to the special teams drills as well to make sure that that part isn't, you know, just getting overlooked, you know, by a player on the backside or something.
I got a chance to talk to Russell Gage after the game while I was waiting to talk to you. And, I mean, those guys are so thankful for their opportunities. But here you go. You need a third down conversion.
Yep.
Or you need a play to get you a first down. And you look out to the left side, and it's Gage coming across in motion with Hardy and Marvin Hall.
Yep.
No Julio Jones, no Mohamed Sanu, Calvin Ridley. Those three guys make two really good blocks out in front, and then Gage makes an unbelievable athletic jump
right
to get a first down. I mean, those guys, I talked to them briefly. All three of those guys are standing there, and I said, and they had big smiles on their face because they had a chance to contribute.
And they've got some fantastic mentors in Julio and Mohamed. But the standard for them is really high based on those mentors, and they really push it to see where they can go to. And I was especially encouraged for Russell, you know, to have that catch and conversion, because as a rookie, you're always just trying to build trust. And so I said, "Hey, man, you put some in the account right there." And
nice.
So he smiled at me on the sideline, and he knew what I was talking about.
Well, his first catch as a Falcon is a big one.
Yep.
It's a team effort, obviously. And then he sells it with a second effort move to even get more out of it.
And,
I mean, I don't know what more you want to do other than score, I guess.
The addition, you know, of him and Bethel on the special team side with the speed, to have a guy with Russ, he's got really long arms and he's fast, and so that kind of speed and length, you know, certainly pay dividends.
Well, we don't have enough time to break down what you got coming up, but a pretty good chore and a really good running back coming up. That, and some running backs have had a little bit of success against you. Saquon Barkley, your first thoughts, just an initial thought on what he brings to the table.
It's the speed that he plays with. I saw it from Penn State. Almost when I was evaluating a player, I'd put that game on. If it was a player that had played Penn State, I wanted to see him tackle him and tackle him, try to tackle him in space. And I can clearly remember, you know, Iowa and a couple games where, like, this guy is incredibly tough to tackle in the open field. So speed is what comes to mind. You know, Ingram at tight end, who's got real speed, and Beckham does, and the running back now does. So that's what jumps out to me early on. It's the matchups, you know, that they can create based on the speed. But those three are at the front and center of it to me with their explosiveness.
Well, there's an extra day in the preparation process for the Falcons as they get ready for Monday night. Coach, thanks as always. Appreciate it.
Always enjoy being on with you guys. Yeah, let's get it cranked up and as big as we can for Monday night with the crowd and the environment that only our stadium, you know, can have. So
prime time at Mercedes-Benz.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's going to be awesome.
Look forward to it. Stay tuned. Coming up, Desmond Trufant and the Player Spotlight on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Now, your Game Time Traffic.
I'm O'Gara from the Game Time Traffic Center, and this report sponsored by Amazon. A couple of trouble spots. Watch for crash over on the west side, 25 northbound. This is just past Interstate 20 before Hollowell Parkway. That is causing some delays for folks who are merging from 20 onto 285 northbound. Also, we have a crash being cleared 20 westbound or MLK Jr. Drive. If you're heading out towards the northern suburbs, still not too bad this afternoon on 75 northbound through Cobb County. Still just about 15 minutes as you go from 285 up towards Wade Green Road. We are looking at a slower trip, though, over in the perimeter on the east side through DeKalb County, 285 south. That's 27 minutes from Spaghetti Junction down towards Interstate 20. Amazon is raising the bar on wages. Beginning November 1st, pay starts at $15 an hour in Jefferson. Apply online at amazon.com/Jefferson Jobs. Amazon, an equal opportunity employer. From the Game Time Traffic Center, I'm O'Gara on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
For the player of the game on the Dan Quinn Coaches Show, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back to the Dan Quinn Coaches Show. We're on a Victory Monday at Flowery Branch. Time for the player spotlight, and Desmond Trufant with us here. Thanks for your time. Appreciate it very much. Congratulations on the win.
I appreciate it. Des, tell me about what you did in the offseason and to get ready for this season, because you kind of reinvented yourself. You know, you've played a really high level this year. Tell me about what you did in the offseason, what you concentrated on.
Well, honestly, I just kind of just did what I always did, but just pushed myself even more, you know. You know, obviously I wasn't dealing with the injury,
right.
You know, because last offseason, you know, I had to change a lot of things how I approached it just because I was still coming back. But this year, you know, I felt I was good and I was just able to do what I normally do. And so, you know, it's paying off.
Take the fan through what it's like to be out there on the corner, because you truly are on an island out there. And it's kind of one battle after another against arguably, beside yourselves, you and Rocky in the corners, mm-hmm. maybe the two best set of athletes going head-to-head, the receivers and the corners mm-hmm. going head-to-head. What's your mindset when you line up and play out there? What do you got to think about when you get ready to play?
Well, I mean, first, I'm just, you know, you got to be overflowing with confidence, you know, and because, you know, just kind of how the game's set up, it's really not in your favor in my position. You know, it's a lot of things that can go against you, then
that's
you know,
for sure.
Then for
yeah.
you know, what I mean, that's just the life it is. So,
yeah.
you know, regardless. So, with that in mind, you know, sometimes bad things are gonna happen. That's just what it is. But at the same time, I'm trying to dominate my matchup. You know, I'm trying to keep everything in front of me. If they challenge me, I'm trying to be there to make a play. They do catch a ball, you know, tackle them right away, and then just line up next play. You know, so. And it's just you just gotta bring that swagger every down, because you know they're going to test you more often than not.
Yeah, I just don't know that there's a position other than the quarterback position that's challenged as much mentally as your position is, because like you just said, you got to forget about what just happened, and it's got to happen like right now to get yourself ready so you're not don't get beat on the next play, or you're ready to make a play.
Yeah, exactly, because, you know, the quickest way to lose a game on the defensive side is to give up the deep balls, you know, because it's a throwing league, so they're going to test you. But if you can limit the big plays, make plays on the ball, get turnovers, and, you know, keep everything in front, you know, it's a good day for you.
With Dave Archer, Wes Durham, Desmond Trufant with us in the Player Spotlight, the Dan Quinn Coaches Show here on 92.9 The Game. To that point, in some ways, now, I do the ball games with a quarterback, so I'm going to preface by saying, is it fair to measure a cornerback's success by interceptions?
I mean, it just depends on how you look at it.
Is it fair today with as much throwing that, okay, there's got to be invariably more or less? See, I've always thought, like, you know, you got 9 career interceptions, and yet you're more impactful than 9 career interceptions. I'm just not sure it's a fair stat, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, there's different types of corners out there. There's corners that get, you know, double-digit picks a year, but, you know, they might give up, you know, just as many touchdowns a year just because they take more risks, which is cool. That's how they play. Or there's guys, you know, kind of like myself, you know, I want to get the turnovers, but, you know, if they don't come, I'm going to lock my side of the field down. I'm going to make plays on the ball, and I'm not going to give up no yards or no touchdowns, you know, and it can be just as impactful. But, I mean, obviously I'm trying to get turnovers. That's what I'm trying to do. But, you know, it's different types of corners, and you just got to – whatever you're good at, just stick to it.
Desmond Trufant with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Well, True, you playing at an unbelievable level with kind of chaos going on around you. When you start looking about what's happened to you guys on that side of the ball, tell me how you guys have held it together over there. You look around. You and I talked the other night. You've kind of had to introduce yourself to a couple of people because they're not normally on the field with you. Tell me about how that's been.
Yeah, you know, it's definitely been an adjustment, you know, but, you know, it's part of the game. This definitely, you know, the first time since I've been here, we've dealt with it, you know, to this high of a, just to this extreme of a level, you know, but, you know, we've just had to adjust. Young guys have had to step up. Different people have had to come into roles. And, you know, we're just trying to make the most of it. I think we just got to keep finding what works for us, you know, and stick with that. And, you know, we just got to keep leading and making plays.
Des, does it make the week up leading up to a ball game more important? I mean, is it more valuable time, the meetings, the practice reps, those type deals?
Yeah, definitely. You got to make sure we're on the same page. I mean, obviously when you got a chemistry with guys over years, you know, you just do things naturally, you know, without even having to talk to a guy, you know. But when you got new pieces in there, young guys in there, you really got to make sure we're on the same page, you know, really got to be communicating. And, you know, but like I said, we just got to continue to find what works for us, and we'll be all right.
True, tell me about the weekly changeover you have to make. 2 weeks ago, you had to prepare for Antonio Brown, who's a different guy than Mike Evans is. 6'5", 2 whatever, and you got another guy that's a quicker guy. How much tape do you study? How much individual time do you spend? Because obviously you're not matching or traveling with a guy most of the time, but he is going to end up on your side at some point. What kind of preparation do you do to do that?
Well, yeah, I'm big on film. Film, it just gives me that it just kind of allows me to see things kind of before they happen. You know, obviously, you know, I don't got a contract with the office. They can do what they do. But, you know, if I'm able to kind of, you know, predict what's coming my way, that allows me to play faster, you know. And when I'm studying, I study all the receivers because you said, you know, anybody can come to my side. So, and it's a lot of talent out there. So I'm looking at, you know, how guys release, how they catch the ball. Are they physical? Do they use their hands? Are they body catchers? Like, I mean, I'm looking at anything I could use to my advantage. And I kind of approach it, you know, depending on how the guy plays, that's kind of how I approach the week as far as, like, my technique, things like that. So, yeah. Tape is big for me.
What's fun for me to watch from my perspective on the offensive side of the ball, which is where I played, is to watch how you and Rocky have kind of gotten to where okay, the picture's gotten bigger for you now. Now you guys are pattern reading. If the slot receiver does this, you're anticipating, and all of a sudden you're there to get the ball on the ground, knock the ball down, disrupt the play. That's been kind of fun to watch you guys grow. Has that been part of the process for you? You're now seeing a lot more of what's going on in the field.
Yeah, definitely. We're always talking about, you know, how we think the offense is going to attack us. And, like me and Rocky, we always share notes, you know, always talking about, okay, this guy does this, and this formation, they do this. When they get to this spot on the field, they like to do this, you know, because, you know, we're seeing it the same way. We're just on opposite sides of the field, you know. So it's big just being year six, you know, the game has slowed down a lot. And I'm just, you know, just trying to make plays out there.
Real quick here in our final couple minutes, it's a long way to Monday night. I mean, you guys get a big week here, a nice week. Heal up, rest a little bit, I'm guessing. But at the same time, also go back and kind of check some balances on where you are and where you want to go. This is a big stretch for you guys.
Yeah. You know, it's a lot of football left. And, you know, we gotta make the most of it. We don't got no time to, you know, still be trying to find ourselves. You know, we just got to stick with what we're doing, find what works, and, you know, just believe in it and go out there and play. Play with energy, have fun, believe in each other. And I'm excited. You know, it's a challenge. You know, it's an uphill battle for us, and, you know, I'm ready for it.
Tell me about Marquand Manuel. We got about a minute and a half here. Marquand Manuel, who played defensive back in the league, tell me about the value to that so that he can associate with some of the things you guys are having to go through in the secondary.
Yeah, it's definitely value when you have a coach that's been in your position before. And, you know, he can relate, you know, exactly to things that you're going through, positive or negative. You know, he feels this because he's lived it before. So it's just another, just another calm that you can talk to somebody, you know, and say, okay, I've seen it like this, and he understands exactly what I'm saying, you know. And we got a great relationship. We can always talk about things on the sidelines. We can hear him on the sideline because he's always screaming and yelling and stuff. So it's definitely big to have him in the room.
You excited about a Monday night game?
Definitely. Prime time.
Last year was Seattle on a Monday night. You kind of showed out that night a little bit.
Yeah, that was a good one for me, definitely. Yeah, it's going to be a challenge. You know, they got some great receivers over there, so we just got to, you know, come with it, like, every week.
I think that's something, and I think a guy comes to play and play at a high level all the time, but if I remember correctly, some of these primetime games have been the biggest moments. True gets the scoop and score against the Packers last year on the ball out. Looking forward to a big game for you, man. Thanks for your time, and keep balling out, because I think you're playing at a really high level right now.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it.
Desmond Trufant with us, player spotlight of the Dan Quinn Coaches Show here on a Victory Monday from Flowery Branch. Stay tuned. More to come on the Afternoon Ride on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.